which is the, I guess, discussion of a catch share task force. Pat Kirk.
Thanks, John. Well, originally, Monica Medina was coming to give this presentation, and then Jim Balsinger was coming to give this presentation, and then Mark Holliday was coming to give this presentation. And for one reason or other, they all couldn't make it, and they send their apologies, but the end result is you ended up with the fourth string here. And I'm working from Monica Medina's notes for the most part. So let me first thank the council and council chair and for accommodating this discussion on such short notice. And I know it is late in the day, so we'll try to get through this fairly quickly. I think as you all know, and as John mentioned earlier, there is a letter in the binder from Monica Medina that does have quite a bit of background information in it. At the May Coordinating Council meeting that was here in Boston and hosted by the New England Fishery Management Council, Dr. Lubchenco announced the creation of this Catch Shares Task Force. And the task force is designed to facilitate the consideration and adoption of catch shares where appropriate as a management strategy in regional council and secretarial fisheries management plans. Dr. Lubchenco at the time expressed her strong support for the adoption of catch shares and the consideration of catch shares, and stated that these programs, catch share programs, have proven that they can resolve the race to fish, reducing overcapacity and improving economic efficiency, and help ensure harvests within annual catch limits. So since then, Dr. Lubchenco has named Monica Medina, who is special advisor to Dr. Lubchenco, as to lead this task force. And the task force is charged with submitting findings and recommendations to Dr. Lubchenco on five priorities no later than August 1st of this year. So it's a very ambitious schedule that the task force is going to be operating under. And the five priorities that have been identified for the task force are, first, to develop a new NOAA policy on catch shares that ensures that catch shares are fully considered when councils take up fishery management plan amendments. Second is to make sure that councils who want to move forward with catch shares have the technical and administrative support to move quickly to design a catch share system while empowering local industry members to be part of the process. The third is ensure that catch share designs achieve the best possible environmental and economic performance supporting healthy ecosystems, meeting annual catch limits, reducing bycatch and habitat damage, and enhancing economic performance. Fourth, to consider whether any organizational changes are needed within NOAA to provide the best possible communication and support. And the fifth one is to provide advice to the Undersecretary on how to allocate resources to the councils to support this work and how to create milestones so that we can evaluate our progress. So those are the four tasks that the task force will be working on. Recognizing that this council has shown considerable interest in implementing catch share systems, the objective of this discussion, the reason we requested this discussion on the agenda, is to advance the dialogue with the councils on the consideration and use of catch share strategies. So the task force wants to hear from council members and staff about the remaining impediments that are in the way of the councils to consideration or implementation of catch shares. Beginning today and in continuing discussions with the council over the next 2 months, the task force would like you to help identify problems and suggest solutions to resolve any funding, policy, legal, and infrastructure issues that are impeding progress. So we're looking for specifics about those issues and what you want and expect to be done about them, including how the councils can be part of that. So the kinds of questions that the task force will be looking at are, what additional investments could ensure the greatest transparency and participation by stakeholders in the design of catch share programs? Where is additional capacity needed to evaluate the effects of individual and community allocation of privileges? what research and information is currently missing to design programs that meet council goals for both sustainable fisheries and sustainable fishing communities, what standards and practices will best avoid accumulation of excessive shares, what are the design options that best meet the council's objective for new entrants or small-scale operators. So the goal is that the hope is that identification and discussion of these impediments can also target where we need to make investments in research, policy, decision analysis, and or new technology for the operation of catch share programs. From your experience, the question to the council is, can you share your major lessons learned in any kind of catch share program that you've been involved in implementing, both positive and negative? And what would you recommend as best practices to inform this council as well as any others that are developing catch share programs? And from that, the hope is that we can develop a strategy to move forward on making catch share management more available to fisheries in the United States. Now, the composition of the task force has actually just been announced this afternoon, a couple of hours ago. And originally it was announced actually as a NOAA-only task force, and based on the suggestions at the council chairs meeting, the CCC meeting, the task force will actually include council representatives, and it's designed to be comprised of a geographically balanced mix of senior NOAA and council representatives. The councils were asked to provide nominations to the task force. 7 of the 8 councils provided nominations. And the decision, originally it was going to be Dr. Lubchenco and Monica Medina were going to pick 3 council representatives to the task force. They've decided actually to accept all the nominations to the task force. So all 7 of the representatives from the council that were nominated will be included on the task force. So the task force makeup is, and this is in alphabetical order, Lee Anderson from the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council, George Geiger from the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council, Bob Gill from Gulf of Mexico, Dave Hansen, Pacific Fishery Management Council, Sean Martin, Western Pacific Fishery Management Council, Eric Olson, North Pacific, and our own John Papalardo from the New England Fishery Management Council. NOAA senior NOAA representatives to the task force include Jim Balsiger, Steve Morosky, John Oliver, Alan Reisenhoover, me, Roy Crabtree, and Sam Pooley. And then in addition, the task force will include Justin Kenny, who is the NOAA Director of Office of Communications and External Affairs, and John Gray, who is the NOAA Director of the Office of Legislative Affairs, and they are ex officio members of the task force. Mark Holliday, who is the Director of Policy for National Marine Fisheries Service, is the task force executive director. So that's the makeup of the task force. As I said, it was just announced a couple of hours ago, or those folks who were nominated anyway just got their letters from Monica Medina on it. So in addition to the task force, and since the task force is by design intended only to last over the next few weeks or a couple of months, we're also requesting that the CCC, the Council Coordinating Committee, consider establishing a standing catch share subcommittee that NOAA could work with on an ongoing basis. And this would help ensure continuity of communication, performance monitoring, and follow-up action by NOAA and the councils to the task force recommendations. It would also serve as a venue for discussion of future catch share issues as they come up. As a third element of moving forward, we're proposing reconfiguration of the Limited Access Privilege Program Steering Committee. And that was the 2006 group that was comprised of NOAA staff, council executive director, council member, it was actually Jim Odlin from the New England Council, and a council staff person, and that's the group that helped develop the NOAA, or that did develop the NOAA technical memorandum called Design and Use of Limited Access Privilege Programs. In addition to asking for nominations for the task force, we asked the councils to provide a council staff expertise. And so both NOAA and council staff expertise will be used to provide input to the task force and to assist the task force in their work. And let's see, I mentioned about Dr. Holliday, who is the executive director. And so I think that's the background information anyway. In previous remarks to this council by Dr. Lubchenco, she indicated that moving forward on sectors and catch shares is a joint venture between NOAA and the councils. Dr. Lubchenco is committed to working with all the councils to find ways to make the health of the oceans go hand in hand with the prosperity of fishermen and well-being of coastal communities. We ask you to take advantage of the task force opportunity to help advance our shared stewardship responsibilities. And with that, I would open it up for your comments and questions.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a good opportunity to talk a little bit more in depth about the two-day workshop we're going to have. I've already met with Amy Kenney and Whitney Tome, who's here, and many of you have worked with them at that council meeting they had in North Carolina, or they're about to have one, and they had one on the West Coast. And they're going to help us with this two-day workshop, and they're going to contact every council member and every staff member and ask them for their concerns, much like Pat has done. What are your concerns about LAP programs, IFQ programs? Are you concerned about monitoring, enforcement, science can't keep up, ownership, you know, all kinds of things. What are your concerns? And so you'll be contacted ahead of time, and then we'll build the agenda and workshops and have experts come that can address those issues. So, you know, although Pat's asking for kind of like that information now, that's exactly what we're going to be doing over the next couple months in setting up our two-day workshop. And I would like to start off by saying, in my opinion, in order to do catch shares right, given that we have everything else that we have to do, including specs and addressing plans and amendments besides catch shares, I think we need three people for 3 years at, you know, maybe at back of the envelope, $400,000 or $500,000 a year to do a unified catch shares program and run referendums and everything else that we need to do. We just don't have the resources to do it now, given our other workload.
Anyone else on the council? Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some of my comments are really because I work with vessels in the Bering Sea that are part of a catch share program, so you had an opportunity to see how it works and functions. And when you look around our region, it seems we're totally lacking in infrastructure, both within the agency and outside the agency. I mean, the types of things we're going to need moving forward are, you know, real-time management, real-time reporting on a daily basis for both vessels and observers. And for that to occur, you're going to have people within the agency able to handle all that information coming in. I mean, I think that's really, it's a critical issue. And I think that both the industry and the regional office could use resource, you know, need resources to get that done. Another thing I think that really makes a program work well is affordable monitoring. The cost that the industry pays in other regions is substantially different than what estimates that we've been looking at in this region. And, you know, one of the reasons that it can't, I think, I'm not absolutely sure, but I think one of the reasons is that there are five observer providers in the North Pacific, and in our region we have one. And I don't know how you get, you know, private businesses to start up and be competitive, but, you know, to the extent that we can, you know, maybe we need to look at a different model. But if you have observer costs that are at the rates that we're talking about, then that's not going to function for the industry. That's not economically viable. So I think those are just, you know, some things that come to mind as we talk about these things.
Dr. Pierce.
I share some of Mary Beth's concerns. Some of the issues that she's raised, while stress, are extremely important, and that is the real-time monitoring of the fishery for any catch share program, certainly for any ITQ program, which I think is where we're eventually going to evolve for most of our fisheries, some sort of ITQ strategy. There's going to have to be some very significant real-time monitoring of the fishery, not just landings, of course, but by catch and discard. I think from the literature that I've read, I know from the literature that I've read that in most ITQ fisheries, there still are bycatch problems, bycatch and discard problems that ITQ managers still wrestle with. So I think there's a need for, you know, the task force to focus on that particular issue. To what extent is that really a problem in existing ITQ fisheries? I must admit that the existing literature tends to confuse me because sometimes it seems like an author or authors will say it's not really a problem, but then there's another paper published in a scientific journal that says, well, there is a problem. And I'm not in a position to really judge whether there is or whether there isn't. I mean, obviously these researchers are focused on it. For example, there's one particular paper that I'm still wrestling with because I don't quite grasp it yet. It's called The Elephant in the Room, The Hidden Costs of Leasing Individual Transferable Fishing Quotas. This is in Marine Policy, recently published by a couple of British Columbia researchers. They focus on the British Columbia fishery. And I know there are a lot of good things about the British Columbia ITQ fisheries, yet this paper highlights some problems that I'm not sure they're real. So I think the task force needs to help us, help the council, separate out fact from fiction regarding what is actually going on in these fisheries. Problems, are there problems or are there not problems with these ITQ fisheries? So in addition to real-time monitoring, in addition to these papers that give mixed messages, and we have to somehow sift through the mix and find out what actually is the truth, if there is any such thing as truth. The real-time monitoring, and also there needs to be, for any ITQ program or catch share program, there needs to be some real intensive enforcement, significant enforcement. Without that enforcement, I think there'd be nothing but problems for us to manage catch share systems. And again, the literature seems to bear that out. I call your attention to another paper that I haven't read yet, but it's been highlighted for me, and it's a 2008 paper. It's by Branch and Hilborn, two very influential, well-published researchers. It's called Matching Catches to Quotas in a Multi-Species Trawl Fishery, Targeting and Avoidance Behavior Under Individual Transferable Quotas. Again, they focus on the bycatch and discard problem, high grading, which occurs with ITQ systems. Certainly with sectors, we'll talk about this tomorrow in a major, well, the day after tomorrow and the day after that. Certainly with sectors, there's a very significant need for us to understand what's being caught. Monitoring will be a major issue for us. Sectors present their own unique set of monitoring challenges. And I think those challenges become even more significant with ITQs because it's specific to individual fishermen who are off doing their own thing. So monitoring has to be intensive, and the enforcement has to be intensive as well. And then I'll highlight one other thing that relates to a real pet peeve of mine, a special concern of mine, and that is it would be very helpful for research to be done. You mentioned this, Pat. What sort of research might be worthwhile as part of our dealing with the hurdles we have to jump over for catch share management? That kind of research would be some sort of social research, social science. I know that our SNS committee in the past, dealing with social issues, has said time and time again that the analyses aren't there, the money is not there to do those analyses. And frankly, with any kind of ITQ system, and all the implications that has for different states, different fishing communities, how fishermen move back and forth, the trading of ITQs. We really do need to have, as best we can, have it, some sort of in-depth social-economic impact analysis that gives us some insights into what the consequences would be of an ITQ system in a multi-species fishery especially. I don't see that happening yet. And in light of the profound impacts catchier management will have in New England, we really cry out for that kind of research.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very pleased to see the broad composition of this task force, because what's important and critical to us in New England is very different than what it is in Alaska or the Gulf. And Dr. Pierce is just starting to lay out an issue that's very critical and important to me, is the New England fisheries have a long history and culture that are very different than the other parts of the country. And we need, as part of this discussion, to have that brutal and honest conversation about what we want the fishery, our future to be. We go down the road of catch shares. There's been a fair amount of conversation by a number of people about these community fishing associations. I don't know what that means, but to me that was part of Amendment 17 or where we're going to go and how we're going to work through the allocation of these resources. So I think we're going to have to front load that discussion in sooner than later.
Thanks, Ed. Rodney, then Rip.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to see we're finally moving off this dime. We've been stuck here for over 30 years. We've been trying to bang that square piece of wood into that round hole, and it ain't never going to get there. So are we going to have problems? Yeah. Are things going to work smooth the first time out? I don't believe so. But I believe we need to start going that way. Being stuck with this stuff that we're doing here and always failing, we're not going to get anywhere. So in a few years, we're not going to have anything to go fishing for. And we're not going to have a fleet that's able to leave the dock because they're going to sink. So we need to get something that's sustainable and make them viable. And what we're doing now, the 30 years that I've been seeing this management program work, I'm ready to step and go some other way, try something new, something that may work. And I know there's going to be problems. I know. By going, I like the idea of that workshop. I've been to two of those. I've learned, every time I've been there, I've learned something. I've come out. This last one we went to, at the Monkfish, we used the Matrix system, and it worked well. Everybody got through that. I thought it worked very well. Everybody knew what we were talking about. It's a new concept of managing fisheries. So I think we need to start moving that way. And I'm glad to see that this administration, although I didn't vote for them, but they're starting to go that way. So thank you.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think a great discussion and a lot of good input. It seems to me that the majority of the input really focuses on the commercial fishery, and there are a lot of people in the recreational industry who are now becoming concerned that catch shares may be coming their direction as well. So I think that there needs to be some thinking as to how that would fit in with the recreational fishery. Maybe catch shares don't work, but I don't think it's a wise position for people in the recreational industry to want to ignore having the discussion. So I think it is something that needs to be brought up and some concept of how if they were instituted in the recreational fishery, how that would happen.
Sally?
Resources are often cited as the reason that this council hasn't been able to take action, but I think often we don't even really know where to start, so we waste a lot of time. So I would say what we need, and I think the October meeting will be a starting point for this, is we need a cookbook to make sure we know what we need to be doing and that we know that we're covering all the bases and are clear in our understanding of how we're actually covering those bases. I think through that very deliberate cookbook-type process. We can also learn from other regions more than we have. I think we need to start looking to the Gulf region especially, because we barely get off the dime in talking about what a referendum would look like because it's never happened here. But it has happened in other places. I mean, it's different in the Gulf, but they have experience there. So, I think we need to learn from what they've done in the Gulf procedurally so that we really know, so that we don't have to take years and years to do a referendum, that we can do it in a matter of less than a year, as they're doing down there now. So learning from other regions, I think that's important. What resources are needed for progress? I have to say it again because it is so important: comprehensive, cost-effective, real-time catch monitoring. I'll say it again because that is so important. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Anyone else on the council? David?
Yeah. Actually, as I listened to people talk, my list kept growing. First, I think you need limited access in all commercial fisheries. I don't see how you can have a catch shares program if you got open access, because you can't divide up the shares. Second, you need licensing for all recreational fisheries for the same reason. You got to be able to count the fish. Third, the cost of monitoring. I think it's prohibitive, and we're going to have to deal with it in both recreational and commercial fisheries, because I think that's the biggest stumbling block at the moment. When people see how much this costs, they can't sign up for it. Fourth, consolidation in the commercial fisheries. We've got to have a discussion about it. Right now, I see consolidation happening. The minute you go to any of these systems, that basically puts all the small boats right out of it immediately. Fifth, the establishment of what they call a New Zealand Queen Street quota. Do you want to have it or don't you want to have it? You've got to have that discussion up front, because you can't unring the bell. Queen Street quota, for those who don't know, is people who own fish and have an office on this street, a little post office box, and from that they operate their business, which is turning fishermen into sharecroppers who go out and catch their fish for them. They don't even own a boat. And last is the loss of community. You already heard in the task force's charge was to maintain communities. I don't think it's possible, but if people want to try to do it, they better do it up front, because once the process is unleashed, you won't be able to stop it. And you'll have to set what I would think would be time-specific periods where the plan can't be tinkered with, say 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, where people can't transfer their permits out of the communities or whatever. Because a lot of the infrastructure, once it's gone, it can't come back. And if you take a town, say, that I'm from, we get, one co-op left. Once you get below a certain number of boats, you can't support a co-op. Once you can't sell your fish there, then the remaining people have got to move out of the community and fish out of a place where you can get rid of the fish. So there's a lot of big issues here, and I'll be happy to help people list them, but that's a good quick start right there.
Dana.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to follow up on all of the comments here, and more especially David's, communities and the excessive shares and the social issues, I would hope that as we go down this road to quotas or whatever you want to call them, that we, in the concept that we can put the placeholder in there, placeholder is probably the wrong word, but in this concept, I hope we do it a little bit different than we have been. It's long ways from Eastport, Maine to Long Island, New York. And as David described it, the way this is going to go, it needs to happen. There's no question about that. But the way it's going to go, there are going to be miles and miles of coastlines and communities that never will have access to fishing again. So I'm suggesting that in this conversation, somehow when stocks are rebuilt to a sustainable level, that if I have an ITQ or a share quota, when my time comes to sell out, that a certain percentage of that goes back into a common pool and gets divided amongst that coastline, Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts and all of the other states. And how we implement that and put the small communities or a few small people back fishing. There's some interesting things happening. You know, and we've got local people selling locally now, and you can have the market, the infrastructure conversation, and it's going to be long and difficult. But my fear is if we don't, if I have a quota and when my time comes to sell out, if you don't tax me on so many pounds or something and put it back into a common pool, that, not to pick on my good friend Rodney over there or anybody from Massachusetts, but every damn ground fish boat in New England will wind up in the city of New Bedford, and I don't think that's where we need to go. I'm just kidding, Rodney. You know it. But anyway, I hope that this gets initiated into this concept and gets discussed very well. And I'll be around on one side of the table or the other to make a noise about it. Thank you.
Doug.
I agree, Pat, with a lot of the issues that have been brought up here, so I'm not going to repeat them all. But the one thing that I would like to add to it is the allocation process. I've been told time and time again in an allocation process there's always winners and losers. I think that this council and the nation as a whole should look at developing allocation process that is neutral. You don't win, you don't lose. You get what is due to you. But, and I don't know how to do that, but it'd be something that I hope we could shoot for.
Doug, I didn't hear it. You get what you what?
You get what's fair.
Okay. Anyone else that hasn't spoke? Anyone new? Dr. Pierce and then Rodney.
If I have a new topic of sorts, I'm glad Steve Morawski is part of the group. We need someone strong on science, certainly on stock assessments. Catch share management will demand a lot of additional energy put into stock assessments, more resources for stock assessments to make them as good as they can possibly be. Without good stock assessments, we'll have very significant problems with catch share management. Of course, any kind of management, but certainly with catch share management. Once individuals get specific allotments that belong to them, that they can trade. So we really need to have that good assessment information available for us to use. And because catch share management, especially ITQ management, does pose special problems for stock assessments, I would certainly like Steve Morawski, the assessment community, to focus on what these catch share programs will do to the usefulness of information gleaned from the fisheries themselves, catch per effort information, for example, that changes with ITQs and catch share management because they fish differently. They modify their behavior differently to be as efficient as they can possibly be. This will occur with sector management as well, but certainly with catch share management, it could have some real profound impacts on how useful the catch per effort information will be. So stock assessment information will be excellent stock assessment information will be a premium.
Roddy?
Yeah, that's a good part about being old. Anybody remember Amendment 5? We did put placeholders in. 1 pound of fish got everybody a permit. Now we've been dealing with that for 35 years. 1 pound of fish got everybody in, was fair to everybody, and we've been dealing with that for 35 years. We can't be fair to everybody. We can't. So let's try to protect the people that are in business right now and make them viable. Should we make everybody go under because my grandson 20 years from now wants to go fish? If he wants to go fishing, let him buy into the industry. But we're going to make the same mistakes we did for Amendment 5.
Sally.
Thanks. One portion of the scallop fishery that has, I think, gotten overlooked since the Amendment 11, when the first IFQ program in the region was approved, is the general category IFQ, which is scheduled to go online next year. I almost forgot about it, so thank you for letting me speak again. But as that program gets ready to go online, we need to be thinking, you know, we're talking about programs in the future. We already have one that's about to start up. So I think it's important for this council not to just kind of, and I'm not saying that we are, washing our hands of it, because it's going to go live in less than a year. So we need to make sure that the resources are there for the catch monitoring system for that fishery as well. And we talk about groundfish because it's the big and complicated one. And we have a small portion of the scallop fishery that's about to go to an IFQ system. And the resources are really needed there to make sure that there's something that's close to a real-time catch monitoring so that it works and so that, you know, we can actually see in actual practice a catch share system that's operational with some of the basics that all of us are acknowledging need to be a part of a workable system. But this fishery is all too often overlooked, so I just want to make sure that that's emphasized and taken back because we have one that's about ready to go. Thanks.
Anyone else in the council? Okay. Pat?
I just want to thank the council. It was very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Council members, if you want to email me your thoughts, if you've developed additional thoughts or additional concerns, my email is on the website, the council website. So I guess it's a pretty aggressive timeline, essentially a month between now and August 1st, a little over. So you know how to get in touch with me. So we stand adjourned until tomorrow at 8 a.m. Sally?
Sorry, just one question. So how is the task force going to take all of the recommendations from all the different councils? Are we going to be able to see what other councils are submitting for consideration by the task force? How's that information flow going to happen?
I don't know, to be honest with you. All I have is the memo that's in the binder right now. 8 a.m. tomorrow.